Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kirma. I'm from South Dakota State. My talk today about is partial variability and interpolation of NDVI and yield. I was supposed to present some sort of characteristics and properties of my study area, but due to time reason, I just selected two variables and willing to share you some of my data. Obviously, salinity or sodic soils are one form of serious form of soil degradation affecting walnut soils. So when you look at the map over there, like on the left and the right sides, the left side is saline soils and the right side is the sodic soils. You could see the distribution of the sodic or saline soils worldwide. It's affecting all Australia, Middle East, Northern Africa, and Latin America, and some part of Northern Great Plain regions. So if you look at the numbers now, almost 1 billion hectares of the walnut soil is experiencing some kind of salt levels, which is a really big number. If we were able to reclaim, or if we were able to make it productive, we could be able to feed a number of people worldwide. So this is a serious issue. It looks like smaller issues, but it's a big issue. So people need to give some attention to it. So it's also affecting land use, as I said. It's also affecting ecosystem services. It's affecting downstream water pollution things and so on. So agriculture production in the last few decades also decreased due to the expansion of salinity, due to the mismanagement of water and climate change and all related things. So this is just to give you an overview how the problem looks like. It looks like snow, but it's not snow, it's salts. The upper one is you can just visually differentiate when you travel on highways, especially in Northern Great Plain regions these days, due to the change in tile drainage things, change in water table, increase of spring temperature and things like this. The whole land use system change, which I will just talk about a little bit later. So everything is changing. So the down one is you could see like surface crusts in some areas, which is more serious than saline soils and very hard to reclaim because we are destroying our soil structure and so on. So it's very hard to bring back to normal, more complicated than saline soils. So on the left side of the screen, you could also see it can be a problem on a subsoil also. So generally in the Northern Great Plain regions, the cause of salinity or salinity could be a number of reasons. Some of them are like increase in precipitation and also change in spring temperature, which is high temperature, which is increase in precipitation means like increasing water table that brings up salts to the surface and affecting crop production and so on. So as previous speakers also mentioned, the geology is also affecting. It has a lot of soluble salts in it, and that's also something to add to the problem. So also in the last 40, 50 years or so, there has been some introduction of new management practices, like including tile drainage, for example, no-till system, which has an advantage on increasing carbon sequestration, whatever. But on the other hand, it's affecting water movement and so on. Anyway, whatever change is happening is affecting the other one, so salts is also increasing as a result of changing management practices. So land use change, as mentioned before also, like a large number of grasslands are being changed into cropland. So that has also effect because grass are already, as it's mentioned, it takes a lot of water out of the profile, so it keeps the water table down, whereas crops are really very shallow depths and so on. So these are some of the things. As mentioned before also, like precipitation change, as you can, you could pointer there. Maybe I'm sorry. Here in this part of the area where we are working, you can see a little bit dark green, which shows as compared to other parts of the U.S. in the last 50 years, this area has received a little bit higher amount of rainfall than, as I said, the other areas. So that has also contributed a little bit more to the expansion of salinity and so on. So techniques, geological techniques, including, plus remote sensing methods could help to get us some idea about the spatial pattern, the spatial distribution of saline soils in at field scale or at landscape scale or at the global scale, whatever. So it saves us time, it saves us cost, and also it's non-destructive method, it's better, and the text is much better than that of the previous method or the traditional method. So a better understanding of spatial autocorrelation of all soil properties, which I'm not presenting right now, but NDVI and yield could also help to make management decisions. Like we define our management zone, say like specific zones could probably need some specific recommendations and like that. So my objectives are very simple. The first one is to evaluate spatial variability of NDVI and yield at the field scale. And the second is to compare effectiveness of different spatial interpolation methods and we assess their accuracy and generate some NDVI and yield interpolated maps. So the study area is in South Dakota, southeastern South Dakota, where we have high clay, high sodic clay pans, where we have high concentration of sodic and saline soils, which is Sede County. And this is the bottom one is just a Google map where the white one, you could see a lot of salts all over the field. And this is where we work it on. And the pattern material is glacial till pattern material. And the soil is the saline sodic soils, and the classification is there. It's neutral dolt. So what we did is we just took measurements across the grid points where we have different surface structures, surface features, or surface characteristics, so that we expect to have different reflectance. And then this is salts, and this is planted at the same time, and the typical picture taken in April, but it looks like this surfaces are really different in their features, so that we expect to have different readings or whatever. So site selection and layout of 13 by 13 grids, which is 169 points of grid points were laid out, which is a 1 acre grid each. So data was collected in the field, reflectance measurement using multispectral radiometer readings, and after collecting the reflectance measurement, NDVI and other indices were calculated from those measurements, and soil data were collected, including moisture and number of soil data, which I'm not presenting right now, with the help of detailed soil characterization at each grid point was done with the help of NRCS people. And yield data was obtained from yield monitor. So elevation map was downloaded from USGS site, which is 30 meter by 30 meter pixel, which is a land fire site. And from each elevation map, from digital elevation map model or map, we extracted an elevation for that matches to our data points. So this is just an overview that you could NDVI values that we calculated after emergence from the reflectance measurement. Just to show you, the larger bubbles are the one which is a higher NDVI value, whereas the smaller are, to show you the spatial variability in the field, whatever. These are the yield values at each point also. So that the larger values are showing larger yield, higher yield, and smaller values, lower yield. So as to the data analysis, we used R software for statistical analysis. We did some data exploration, histogram construction to see it, so if the data is normal or not. And then we made some transformation and things like that. And we generated a variogram. So we evaluated the variogram structure, whatever. So we made a fitting using different models, and we tested the accuracy. And a number of interpolation methods are already available, but we used a couple of them. And for this purpose, we used trend surface interpolation method, and the first and second polynomial, first degree and second degree polynomial, inverse distance weighting, and ordinary kriging and linear regression using the elevation as an independent variable and so on. So when you look at the variogram structure, we have a C a little bit lower than 0.002. But what's important here is we have, when you look at the range, we have a kind of relationship, autocorrelation till at this point, like it gets to seal. So when you look at the semi-varigal model and parameter for models, exponential model as compared to spherical and Gaussian model, it's optimal model for estimating spatial dependence for NDVI. Just since we have higher nugget to seal ratio, which is an indicator of spatial autocorrelation of the variable. Whereas the other values are a little bit higher. If it is higher than 25, 250 or 75, it's moderately autocorrelated. If it's more than 75, it's said to be like uncorrelated or something. When you look at the range, the range tells us where the spatial autocorrelation or spatial dependence go. So it goes to up to 178, whatever here. So that's for NDVI. When also compare, we made also comparative analysis of interpolation methods. As I said, we use these interpolators. And when you look at, we use correlation coefficient and the residue to compare, their accuracy and so on. What we found is this value, the higher correlation and the lower error, the higher, which is inverse distance weighting with K2 is much better than that of the other interpolators. So these are some of the map generated using different interpolators. I'm told to go a little bit faster, so this is also another variogram for yield. Same method is used, and what we got from here is exponential model with a lower, almost zero nugget to seal value is found to be much better much better fit than the other two models. So spatial dependence also goes to up to 105 meter. So these are the maps generated using those interpolation techniques, as I said. So just jump. So since I have left 2 minutes, then as conclusion, computer-based geostatistical models are found to be a very useful tools to make spatial dependence or to be spatial autocorrelation or to define spatial dependence and so on. They are also useful for spatial prediction of ensemble equation, as you have seen in using different interpolation techniques. And DBI and yield have a spatial dependence up to 175 and 105 meters respectively from a given point, from the data point. And analysis of other soil attributes on bio and topo sequence sampling on a much more transect could maybe give a better understanding about the spatial relationship of the different variables, especially the soil properties and characteristics, which I'm going to work on in the coming few weeks. So maybe for the future studies, detailed study on spatial saline soil variability at landscape scale in saline soils using unmanned aircraft could be helpful, rather than using multispectral radiometer, which is a little bit hard to travel on the transects, whatever. Testing more and relevant interpolation methods, using especially the multivariable and multilayer analysis, so that we can generate some value to that includes all the variables and so on. And study on reflectance signatures at different crop growth stage, like bare soil, V1, V4, V8, whatever, so that we can make a relationship with those measurements and come up with some value and so on. So lastly, I acknowledge NRCS, USDA NRCS, Corn Council, and Commonwealth Cooperatives and North Dakota State University for helping, for funding, and for giving us their plots and so on. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, you're welcome.